May the Lord give you his peace. Good afternoon. This is Father Stosh Daly here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, joining you at the end of this hour with today's message of hope. As we draw to a close this hour, looking forward to the evening, may we open our minds and our hearts to the words of everlasting life given to us by St. John. St. John the Evangelist, St. John the Apostle, the youngest of the 12 apostles, the younger brother of James, sons of thunder, sons of Zebedee and Salome, cousin of our Lord Jesus Christ, cousin of St. John the Baptist. The Gospel of John is, personally speaking, my favorite, and it is a gospel that is referenced throughout the holy seasons of the liturgical year in the life of Holy Mother the Church. In the second year of the three-year cycle of Sunday readings, we hear John's gospel used as a point of meditation and, most importantly, formation in our holy Catholic faith on Sunday at Holy Mass. Recall what takes place in the Gospel of John on the third Sunday of Advent. Priests, Levites, and Pharisees are sent by the Jews of Jerusalem to go outside the city to the Jordan River, to a place near Bethany, to ask another John a few questions. They hear about John, who is now called the Baptist. He is baptizing with water. He's calling for a repentance of sins. Well, why? Let's turn to the words of everlasting life themselves. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 28. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" He admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, or Elijah, or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. At the beginning of that particular passage, taken from the first chapter of John's Gospel, verse 6, we enter into John. Remember some of the details about John the Baptist's life. First of all, let us remember what happened just before he was conceived. His father, his mother, they were older in age, unable to have a child, Elizabeth and Zechariah. The archangel Gabriel appeared. Zechariah was a priest working in the temple in Jerusalem. He had entered into one of the holier areas where only the priest may go to offer sacrifice as an ongoing oblation, continuing the prayer of the people before the presence of the Most High God. Zechariah did not believe the message that the archangel Gabriel communicated from God the Father, and he was struck dumb. He was unable to speak. Zechariah would only regain the ability to speak when later on in his home he would highlight the name of his son to be John. Recall that Elizabeth, his wife, who had carried John, given birth to John, she said what his name would be, but the people of the family and of the town, they would not accept the name because it wasn't a name of the family. But when the father of the child, Zechariah, said his name will be John, he was able to speak again. So even John's name carries a power in reality, a power that changes reality. When he highlights that he came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. Even from the beginning of his days, there was humility in his life, humility in his being. Recall also that John the Baptist, we believe, was cleansed of original sin while still in the womb. He leapt while still in the womb of his mother at the presence of God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, who was also within the womb of his mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. John the Baptist, therefore, was born into this world without sin. He was born into this world without sin so that he may call the coming of the kingdom for the salvation of souls. John the Baptist is very familiar with the culture of the temple, the priests, the Levites, and the Pharisees, for he came from a priestly tribe. He was the son of a priest. He had in his blood a right to lead worship in the temple, to participate in the worship of the temple. But that insight, that ability, that authority also opened his eyes to, unfortunately, the coldness, the hardness of hearts of those who are supposed to be closest to the Lord, to those who are supposed to be the greatest of all servants to the people, the priests, the Levites, and the Pharisees. John had grown very disenfranchised, cold as a result of the hypocrisy, the lack of faith found within the temple. Rather than encountering men of the spirit, he encountered men of the flesh. They were more concerned about lining their pockets with treasure than being a holy sacrifice themselves to the Most High God. John, you could say, rebelled against the culture of the day and fled the temple, fled the city. He fled the sin. He fled the hypocrisy. He went out into the desert and lived what many people thought to be a very radical life. He lived a life of reparation. He lived a life of penance. He lived a life of total dedicated prayer before the Lord. He did so because he understood the reality of what it means to be a disciple. He understood the reality of what it means to be one who loves the Lord with their whole heart, with their whole mind, with all of who they are. Entering into the desert, he lived a life of prayer and penance, hallmarks of every Christian, which gave him the strength to be able to, when the Spirit prompted him, come back into the crowds, come back into the towns, come back for the salvation of souls. He came back to announce the light, to bring the light of the Lord to the people. He was a fascinating individual to the people of the towns as well as the city of Jerusalem, because remember, he had a birthright to the temple and he rebelled against it. He was one who was very well learned. He studied much. He had the covenants memorized. The law was in his heart. The Lord was his all in all. When he begins to preach and teach and form and correct the hypocrisy of the temple and of the city, his message is strikingly similar to that of Elijah. And even though the priests and the Levites and the Pharisees would not have enjoyed what he had to say, his message nevertheless would have stirred within their hearts. They were not ignorant of the prophecies. So when he begins to preach and teach and announce the coming of the Lord, they go out to ask, who are you? What are you? What is your purpose? Hence the questions that are posed. But notice the humility of John. He goes, I am not the Christ. But he is the one who has come to announce the way. Now, John is not ignorant of the Old Testament. He's also not ignorant of the prophecies. And he's definitely not blind or ignorant to human nature. He knows what's going to happen to the one who announces the coming of the Lord. And when he highlights who he is, what he is, and the task he has to accomplish, when he answers and makes known all of that before the priests, the Levites, and the Pharisees, he's highlighting that the purpose of his life is soon to come to an end. And his life, therefore, on earth will also be brought to an end. But remember, he has a purpose to glorify the light, to bring light into the darkness of hearts. John, a cousin of Jesus. John, a cousin of John the Evangelist. John, a cousin to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. John is in a place known by the family. Now, we all know how easy it can be to have a conversation with a stranger or a friend or a neighbor, and how difficult it can be to have a conversation with a family member because they've known us our whole life. So that shows a boldness within John the Baptist. He went to the place of his family, Bethany. He loved them so much, he wanted to save his family, to preach the coming of the Lord to his family. What is incredible is how he highlights that among them, among his family, among his friends, among his neighbors, among the priests, the Levites, and the Pharisees, all gathered there in Bethany, among them is the Lord, the Messiah, Jesus. He's already among them, but they do not recognize him. We're striving for peace. We're yearning for hope. In this message, let our hearts be shaped and our minds be formed by the words of John the Baptist. The Lord is among us, in our homes, in our church, in our lives. The Lord is already among us. Heeding the words of John the Baptist, may we turn our eyes towards Jesus and recognize him as God with us.